Restricted access and egress.
Means he was a bastard prisoner.
Together, they read through several more pages, until Christie paused.
So the old man became too damned difficult for them to control. Surprised they didn't just lose him out of a copter off the coast. But they found a better way.
The poor, mind-blown old... The cold-hearted icer sent him forward. Used a gateway in Virginia. End December in the year 2000. Couple of weeks before the big one, and the end of all that. Sent him onward.
To Moxon and Jordan Teague and Kortstrasser. Then on to join us.
Christie walked away from the monitor, burying her head in her hands as she leaned against a wall of the library.
Nothing more on the disk. Stops with the information that they pushed him forward. Ends up saying there were no contingency plans for further trawling or return of subject.
It hardly mentions that he worked for a time on Project Cerberus. And it doesn't mention this Project Eurydice anywhere.
It was true. There were passing references to redoubts and gateways. It looked as if all research into cron jumps had more or less ended when they had pushed Doc Tanner forward into the unguessable future. One anomaly that still puzzled Ryan was whether they could have brought him back from the future. Would the old man have had knowledge of the nuclear holocaust that was to destroy most of the planet? Would they have believed him? Would he have changed things? Not if you credited the theory about there being parallel universes.
But he worked on the Kron projects, so he does know something about how to make the gateways function for time jumps as well as just for Matrans. This is... If we found a redoubt still sealed and with its gateway functioning for Kron jumps, then we aren't just limited to going any place, are we, Ryan?
Nope. We can go any when as well.
Doc Tanner was waiting for them when they finally emerged from the echoing vault of the library. They closed the door carefully behind them, hearing tumblers click into place, locking it tight.
Have you read it all?
His eyes were red and swollen, sore from weeping.
Yeah. Why didn't you tell us about it? It can't hurt to tell someone.
No. I suppose you are correct in that assumption. But I am so alone, my dear Ryan. A speck of infinity, 2 centuries old, with my wife and children long dead. Yet in their world, they are all alive. I still cherish the hope that one day...
But these parallel streams, doesn't that mean you can't return to that world ever again?
It's a theory, that's all. It may be right. Until we test it, we shall never know. Traveling with you gives me that tender shoot of hope. One day, in the right gateway, it might...
His voice faded away once more. Later that evening, somewhere between B and C and Green, Doc came to Ryan, who was lying on his bed alone.
Will you tell the others, Mr. Carter?
About where you come from?
Yes.
Do you mind if I do?
I'll tell you the honest truth, Ryan, and nothing but the truth. I'm relieved it's all out in the open. Load off my mind.
He reached out and shook Ryan firmly by the hand, then went to rejoin Lori.
Fucking liar.
It's true.
You're a fucking liar, Ryan Carter.
It's true, Finn.
You too, Christie. Couple of fucking liars. You think I'm still wet behind the balls, huh?
I said he wouldn't believe it.
Doc Tanner is over 200 years old.
And I'm a swampy's foreskin. Come on, friend. Just forget it, will you?
They had better luck with JB.
Over 200 years old?
That's right, JB. That's right.
The armorer took off his glasses and polished them on the sleeve of his overalls, then squinted up at the ceiling lights through the gleaming lens.
Trawled and then sent on forward to our time? That's what you're trying to tell me, Ryan?
As he spoke, one of the strip lights flickered and went out. Since they'd been in Wizard Island, they'd noticed how much of the technology seemed on the point of failing, or had simply already failed. Ryan guessed it was because the scientists, much diminished in numbers, probably lacked the time to deal with such mundane matters. They were too deeply embroiled in Project Eurydice, whatever that was.
Yeah, born over 200 years ago.
If he was trawled when he was only around 30, that's what you said? Then he spent only a few years in the time before the long chill. How come he looks around 70?
Ryan had wondered about that. Christie had pressed for more information when they'd watched the story scrolling on the computer screen in the library. The answer had been vague and incomplete. On the most limited data, it appears that cron jumps can result in speeding or slowing of metabolism, resulting in aging either faster or slower than usual. This was observed in the specimen Tanner. JB nodded as Ryan tried to explain this to him.
So he's older than the real body time, but a damn sight younger than true elapsed time. I get it. And you figure he might know how to use some gateways for Kron as well as Matrans? Be good.
They couldn't tell Jack about Doc's age until the next morning. The old man told Laurie himself. Ryan asked him how it went.
The child is a caution, Ryan. She smiled as though I were joshing her. Kissed me on the cheek and said it didn't matter to her if I was 1 million years old. She is such a sweet dove.
They had no further visits from Dr. Tardy or any of the other scientists. Finn and JB had failed to reach the main elevators and the sole exit from the complex, but the armorer figured it could be done.
Means spilling a lot of blood. Even we can get past a half dozen sect men, then we can get it where they're keeping our clothes and blasters. Once we did that, we could clean out the whole place.
Finnegan had managed to persuade one of the scientists to take him to where the sect men exercised and practiced shooting their stubby blasters.
Down another level. Lots of blaster stores locked tight. I see them shooting at comp targets. Nearly every fucking time they put them dials up to 20, the fuckers misfire. I reckon it a blind mutie could do better against than those blasters. Odds must be 100-1 they won't work.
Sounds like good odds.
After they'd plowed their way through the stodge that served as food in the Wizard Island Complex for Scientific Advancement, Ryan and Christy retired to their section of the dormitory. With something of a struggle, they'd managed to move one of the single beds off its mounting, snapping the rusting screws, and pushing it alongside Ryan's bed to make it possible for them to sleep together. Though it wasn't just sleep that was on Ryan's mind at the moment. He lay pressed tightly against her, his erection poking into the warmth of her buttocks, his arms enfolding her. Pushing back against him, Christy reached around to caress his penis, squeezing her fingers hard around the shaft.
That's nice, lover.
The lights had failed in this section of the big dormitory. Since the vid cameras weren't infrascanners, he was fairly confident their lovemaking wasn't being witnessed and recorded. Ryan's right hand cupped her breast, the nipple wriggling into hardness against his palm. Ryan nibbled at the back of Christy's neck, nipping with his front teeth. The girl pushed harder against him. Her sentient red hair shifted against Ryan's face, touching his skin with an electrifying arousal. Knowing what she most liked, Ryan slid slowly down the bed until his cheek was pressed against the muscular curve of her hip. He reached over with his hand and touched the coils of hair between her thighs. She opened to him, warm and moist, as his fingers found the trigger to her own deep arousal. By shifting a little, he was able to bring his penis against her ankles. Christy felt him. She then took him between her feet, rubbing him gently. He probed at her with two and then three fingers, readying her. The girl tangled her own strong fingers in the long hair at the back of his head, pulling insistently at him, making him know what she wanted, what she needed. Her thighs clamped on either side of his face, drawing him into her body, and his tongue flicked out, tasting her, lapping at her softness. Christy locked her heels together between her lover's shoulder blades, keeping him in place, pumping her hips against his lips and tongue. She felt the familiar, delicious fluttering of her stomach muscles as her orgasm rushed forward. Ryan could judge how far she'd gone along the road, feeling her finally gasp and shudder, her thighs so tight around him he could hardly breathe. At last she relaxed, and he was free.
One day I'll break your neck doing that, lover.
I can't think of a better way to go.
Your turn.
She slid down the bed, kneeling over him, her hair brushing now over his groin and lower stomach. The fiery tendrils actually curled around him, bringing him instantly to the edge of losing control.
No, be too fucking quick.
Can't have that.
Her head lowered over him.
Ugh.
After she'd brought him moaning to the edge of a shattering orgasm, she withdrew her mouth, knelt astride him, and lowered herself. Ryan pushed up to meet her, his eyes tightly shut, mouth sagging open. His back arched, pulling her down on him, his fingers digging so hard into her shoulders that they left vivid bruises for days.
Oh, God.
Christy collapsed on him, kissing him tenderly around the face, her lips brushing him with the softness of a moth's wings.
That was good, lover.
Yeah, it was.
They made love twice more during that long night. After the third time, they held each other tightly and slipped back into sleep. The next day, Ryan went alone to visit Jack Lauren. The corridors were patrolled by the helmeted sec men, marching in clumsy unison in pairs, none of them even turning to watch the stranger walk by. Ryan tucked his scarf into the neck of his coveralls, pausing at a corner with an attack of painful gas from the turgid food they'd been given. There had been no word from any of the scientists on what they should do that day.
Go where you can and find out what you can.
That was what he had told the others. The security units were at the end of one of the corridors farthest away from the center of the Wizard Island complex. Once upon a time, they might have been considered unbreakable. But now some of the comp bolts and locks had ceased to work, and there were ordinary bolts rusting on a couple of the doors. One single guard stood outside the main cell, where the Albina was being kept. Ryan stopped in front of the sec mutie.
Can I go on through?
The vid camera above their heads turned. After a delay of several seconds, Ryan finally heard an answer.
Permission granted. Visit wise.
But the sec man didn't move. He stood four square, blocking the doorway. Ryan looked up at the camera again, hoping for intervention, but nothing happened. He took a half step forward, and the sec man's blaster shifted, its narrow muzzle centering on his stomach.
Fire blast. Move out of the fucking way, you stupid bastard.
Regret signals not being received. Please go away and return in one half letter. May the peace of Central go with you.
Thanks.
When he returned, he found Dr. Ethel Tardy waiting for him, pacing up and down the narrow passage outside the security section.
Apologies for delay. We are most busy, and normal operation repairs have been put on the back burners for too many years. Soon it will all change. You and your companions may work with us, involvement-wise, and share Central's rewards.
Sure. Can I see the kid?
The tiny woman nodded, waving her withered arm in a sort of salute. The sec man had disappeared, and all Ryan had to do was slide the bolt at the top and bottom of the door and pull it open. Jack was sitting on a narrow bunk bed. As the door opened, he stood up, his body tensing, but he relaxed as soon as he saw Ryan.
Ah!
Ryan glanced around and saw Dr. Tardy waddling off. But the dark figure of the sec man had mysteriously reappeared, and now stood with his back to them. Ryan pushed the door closed and glanced around the cell. Then he looked closely at the boy's face for any sign of ill treatment. But Jack looked just as he always did, a narrow, foxy face devoid of color, the eyes like distant rubies in sockets of wind-scoured bone, the familiar scar across the left cheek that tugged the mouth up into a simulacrum of a smile.
How you doing?
Not good, not bad. Food's terrible. Bread and milk would be better. How do others?
All fine. We found out the truth about Doc Tanner, where he came from. How old he is, that kind of stuff.
Yeah? How?
Ryan told him quickly, knowing it didn't matter much if the room was bugged. What they knew was already known to the scientists anyway. Jack sat silent, occasionally asking a question. He wanted to know whether the date of Doc's trawling was linked with the date of the deaths of his two children, and was puzzled about Doc's real age. But he never questioned the truthfulness of the story.
So we could go time traveling? Yeah?
That's the theory, kid. All we have to do is find a redoubt with the right controls, and find someone who knows how to operate it.
How about Doc?
Who knows?
They talked for another half hour or so. Jack told Ryan he'd been visited by a couple of scientists who had been interested in his highly developed fighting skills.
Didn't care I chilled too sec, man. Just wanted to know why I did it. Not even how. Mostly why.
After their generations of inbreeding, they must find the idea of slaughtering with your bare hands really weird.
But minds weren't on it. Worried about research. Told me Central would be pleased. Nearly got Eurydice done. Any day now.
Anyway now.
How about getting me out?
They talk about doing any experiments on you?
Sure. Fuckers wanted neural readings, synaptic reflex results, motor speed, muscle response.